57 days ago, I woke up to find that all color had drained from my face. My pores were gone. Where there used to be tiny blackheads was only smooth, even skin. The bump of my nose had turned into a smooth bridge, ending in a sharper tip, and my originally round chin had turned more pointed. My lips had turned as white as paper, and when I raised my hand to wipe over my eyebrows, the short dark hairs came off and fell into the sink below the mirror I was looking into. I shut my eyes and ran my thumb over the other one as well. Now both were gone. I leaned closer to the mirror. My eyes were the same, yet the tiny wrinkles I used to have in their corners had disappeared. When I opened my mouth, I found that my teeth had blended together to form two closed, seamless white rows. I was terrified, to say the least. Confused. It didn't feel real. Was I dreaming this? I rubbed my eyes, only to gasp in shock when I pulled back to find long, black lashes in my hands. I looked up at the mirror again, the face of a mannequin staring back. Then I fell unconscious. I woke back up in bed. Dana and Michael were sitting by my side. They adopted me at the age of 8, and have shown me nothing but love and doting care throughout the years. But I could never refer to them as Mom and Dad without feeling incredibly uncomfortable. I had expected them to look scared and worried, but they appeared to be weirdly elated. Dana reached down to the small tray resting on her thighs. It held a wet cloth, a cup of tea, and a little plate with some pancakes on it. She grabbed the cloth and gently began dabbing my eyes and forehead with it. When she removed it, I could see that the remaining hairs of my brows and eyelashes were stuck to it. I slowly sat up in bed. I wanted to say something, ask what was going on, but noticed in horror that I could hardly move my lips. Opening and closing my mouth worked well enough, but I couldn't contort it properly to form words. "What?" I managed to press out. Dana smiled. "It's okay. Christine, here." She lifted the cup of tea to my lips. "Have some of this. It'll calm you down." I obediently took the cup out of her hands and drank a few sips of tea. "Sit up straight," she instructed me, as she proceeded to place the tray on my knees. She let me hand her the teacup and gestured for me to eat. My gaze flitting between Michael and her, I grabbed the fork and knife lying on either side of the plate and began to eat. As my teeth repeatedly came down onto the pieces of syrup-drenched pancake, slowly and laboriously turning them to mush, I felt tears form in my eyes. My hopes of this being a bad dream were fading. "Is it good?" Michael asked. I nodded quietly, suppressing a sob as I swallowed my bite of pancake. "You're probably very scared right now," he said softly. "But don't worry, it'll all be fine. I know it's hard now, but it's all going to be over soon." I tilted my head at him, trying to utter a question through stiff, unresponsive lips. "You'll understand soon enough," he replied, smiling gently as he took out a hairbrush, leaned in, and began to run it through my short, light brown locks, carefully arranging them into large, orderly curls again. "You must be very scared. Trust me, though. We'll take care of you." They knew what was happening. As soon as I realized this, I felt my stomach churn. I slowly laid down my cutlery and raised my head. Tears were now freely streaming down my numb cheeks. In the following days, Dana and Michael's behavior towards me changed. They were still friendly and affectionate, but something about the way they were acting was lacking sincereness. It felt staged and disconcerting. I would catch them talking behind my back more and more often as well. For example, one time they were having a conversation in the kitchen and instantly fell silent when I came in. And then there was the thing about the doctor. Of course, I wanted to get my face back. I thought I had fallen ill or something. However, my requests of making an appointment or going straight to the hospital were gently but firmly denied. I wasn't allowed to go outside, which I didn't notice at first since there was no way I could leave the house looking like I did anyways. But then I listened in on Dana calling my boss at the clothing store I work at and telling them I had come down with a bad flu. She said it would take a while for me to come back in, At the time, I didn't really think much of it, at least not as much as I do now. Michael and Dana would continue to keep me inside. In fact, they decreed strict bed rest, which is where they proceeded to keep me. Michael bought me a TV for my room and set it up right in front of my bed so I could see it from where I was resting. Dana would continuously cook my favorite meals and bring them to me. One of them would be by my side almost all day. We would play games or read together. I love to paint, so Dana carried my little desk with all my equipment on it over to my bedside. She'd even sit still and let me paint her. It was nice being pampered like that. It took my mind off my situation. In hindsight, that was probably what they had intended in the first place. My love for them and my comfort made me blind. They did give me an explanation for the disappearance of my face. "It's a family curse," Dana told me. "At a certain age, our kids lose their facial features. It was like that with me too. It can stay like that for weeks or even months, but it will go back to normal after a while. I thought it wasn't going to affect you, but I guess I was wrong. It's not that bad, though. All you have to do is rest." She then kissed me on the forehead and handed me the remote control. "I look scary, don't I?" I asked. That was what I wanted to ask, at least. I still couldn't really move my lips too well, so what came out was probably just a hopeless string of barely comprehensible words. Dana, however, seemed to understand them just fine. "Not to me, sweetheart," she replied, leaning in to give me a hug. I felt so safe. Everything was nice and warm. I enjoyed eating tasty things and just playing around all day. I believed Dana and Michael. I had no reason not to. That was until I overheard a conversation between them that had probably not been meant for my ears. It was late at night, and I was half asleep already when I heard Dana crying in her room and Michael's bedroom. Concerned, I silently got out of bed and snuck downstairs. I was about to knock on their door when I heard Michael speak up. "I know, baby. I'll miss her too. It's natural. We've been with her for 12 years. Of course we've grown attached. But it'll be worth it, don't you think?" "I don't know anymore," I heard Dana sob in response. "I love her. I really do. I miss Marlene. I can't think of anything but her all day. But I don't know if I can go through with this. She even looks a little bit like her." "Well, used to. But she's not her. You gotta remember that." Michael sighed, and I heard the mattress creak as he sat down beside his wife. "There's no turning back now, anyways. We'll make it this time. I know we will. The thing with Phoenix was a disaster, but this time we'll make it work. Just think of how happy you'll be when Marlene is finally back, all right?" There was a long pause before Dana sniffled and whimpered one last time. "All right." I returned to my room without making a sound. My heart was pounding in my chest. I know they were talking about me. As I said earlier, I was taken in by them when I was 8 years old, and I'm 20 now. My mind was racing with faint ideas of what they might do to me, what they wanted to use me for. I hadn't heard of anyone named Marlene or Phoenix before. I was now certain they were keeping something from me. I felt like I couldn't trust them anymore, even though I wanted nothing more than that. I cherished them. And that was exactly 3 days ago. I know because that same night, the faceless man came into my room for the first time. I had gone back to bed after listening in on the strange exchange. Part of me was still hoping it had simply been a weird dream and that I just needed to wake up. The best way to do that would be to going back to sleep, right? So I laid back down and shut my eyes. I found that I couldn't really rest, though. I tossed and turned in bed, kicking the sheets and trying in vain to nestle into my pillow. I ended up lying on my back, and that's when the strangest feeling overcame me. I slowly opened my eyes. I almost screamed when I saw a face staring down at me, but before any sound could leave my lips, a hand had pressed itself over my mouth, forcing me to stay silent. The face hovering above my own was as pale as a sheet. Its chin and nose were unnaturally sharp, its lips and cheeks void of all color. It was so white it almost seemed to shine in the darkness. It was completely hairless, no brows, no eyelashes. It was then that I realized that this other person, this intruder, looked just like me. It was hard to tell at first, but something about them felt male. Maybe it was the shape of his eyes or the size of his hand, which he proceeded to slowly and carefully remove from my mouth. He raised a finger to his lips, and I nodded quietly. We stared at each other for a while before he reached out to take my hand. He gently pried it open, turning my palm to face him. He then began to draw onto my skin with his finger. It took him a few tries for me to finally understand that he was writing something. At first, a simple line, followed by him stroking over my open palm, as if to erase it or something. It tickled a bit, but apart from that, it was almost affectionate. I shook my head and let out a low hum, trying to tell him I didn't get it. He looked up at me and let go of a soft breath. He sounded exhausted. Still, he lowered his head and repeated the motion. I nodded eagerly, pointing at him to communicate that I finally understood. I could still see little, apart from a faint glow of the white color of his face in the darkness. But for a second, it almost looked like he was attempting to smile. The corners of his stiff lips were pointing up ever so slightly. He proceeded to write letters onto my open palm. His fingertip was cold and almost sharp. It drew chilly lines onto my sweat-laced warm skin. I watch you sleep. As much as this first sentence may have frightened me, I soon understood the necessity of keeping up communication with the man without a face. Ever since then, he's been coming in through the window every night. We talk using my phone now, typing out our messages to each other. He's made it very clear that I'm in grave danger, even though he is still holding off on explaining the details. I asked him if we should call the police, but he seems to be certain that it would only get me into more trouble. Maybe that's because Michael works for the police department. Or maybe it's simply because I can't really talk, and writing the cops an email doesn't sound too helpful. Instead, we have been planning our escape. Tonight, the man without a face will wait until Michael and Dana are asleep and bring a ladder to my window. How he has managed to climb up here without one in the first place is beyond me, but I don't really care either. By now, I just want to get out of here. Dana and Michael have been keeping the keys to themselves. I don't know where they're hiding them, but I check the doors and lower windows from time to time when nobody's watching. They're all locked. I'm not sure if they know that I know they're basically holding me captive, but I'm certain that if I stay, something will happen to me. Something much worse than losing my face. I have to trust the faceless man with my life. There's no other way. Maybe it's due to our identical condition, but I feel strangely connected to him. I pray I'm not wrong about it. Tonight I'll find out. Tonight, we'll flee.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free. TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.